This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver
Commercial
Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast. I'm Corey Wright.
And I'm Matt Scalina.
On today, we have a great guest. We have Steven Jagger, who is the co-founder of the Addy platform. And for those listeners who may remember, we did have Addy on the program a while ago. I believe right. You guys have had them on there.
We've had Steve on the show, on the podcast a while back. But man, this company, when we had Addy on the commercial podcast, wasn't it like a $1,500 maximum? It was something that is definitely not the case.
Real early days.
It's growing so fast. It's such an interesting and dynamic company. We had to have them back.
We wanted to hear what's going on. I see all the new projects are coming on the platform all the time. The platform, obviously, as Steven talked about, has gotten a lot more efficient, whether you're on the licensing side or probably the investor side. There's a lot more offerings out there. And for those who don't know, a lot of times when... And we dig into it on the program, but a lot of times when you want to invest in some of these big projects as like limited partners, there's big, big minimums, $500,000, $200,000, $100,000. And on top of that, there's a lot of criteria through the accredited investor that you have to meet in order to participate. Addy's created a platform that allows things, sounds like through the crowdfunding rules and regulations, the ability for people to invest for as little as $1.
That's right. Democratizing real estate investing. And also, not only real estate investing, they now have a fund. They're getting private credit. So it's like...
Scott McGilvery.
The sky is the limit here.
Yeah.
It's a great conversation. And talk about smart guy and a smart team. Because he kind of details all the challenges and workarounds they've come up with on the software side. It's amazing. Serial entrepreneur. I love it.
Yeah, no, great episode, guys. So without further ado, let's get into that. We have Steven Jagger, co-founder of Addy Invest.
Enjoy.
This podcast is presented by Impact Commercial.
Impact Commercial. John, Alan, the team over there are fantastic. They've all been on the show.
They have, yeah.
Friends of the show.
Great guys.
Wealth of experience. They can help with all your commercial financing needs.
Whether it's owner-occupiers, land development funds, commercial investments, or multifamily, these guys got you covered.
And they recently obtained their CMHC correspondent lender status.
So for all your commercial lending needs, visit them at impactcommercial.ca.
That's impactcommercial.ca. All right, so we're here with Steven Jagger, co-founder of Addy and friend of the podcasts, plural. How you doing, Steven?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. How are you guys?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good, thanks. Yeah, thanks for taking the time.
No problem.
So for listeners who haven't heard you on the show prior, can you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Yeah. I'm a Vancouver-based entrepreneur. Lived in Vancouver for quite some time. Spent some time overseas living in the Philippines and Singapore with my wife and kids. Came back in 2016. But been an entrepreneur my whole life, essentially since high school. Myself and my business partner, Mike, we've been business partners now for 24 years across a handful of startups that we've built. I don't know, kind of what keeps me busy. But happily living back in Vancouver and sort of loving it here.
And Steven, can you tell us a little bit about Addy in relation to your other projects? Is it kind of, I'm curious, is it like the most exciting startup you've ever been involved in? Or I guess you can't say it's not. Like, actually.
Well, the answer is yes anyways. But yeah, it for sure is. You know, Mike and I, in the past, we had a like real estate website platform called Ubitor. It was
right.
Built in, I don't know, 2003, sold that in 2013. We had an outsourcing company based in the Philippines. But Addy is for sure the most exciting and the biggest potential, biggest opportunity. But what Addy is, basically we're a technology company. And so we enable Canadians to be able to get access to institutional commercial grade real estate. And what we mean by get access to is invest in it. You know, institutional commercial grade real estate, like you guys know, is generally big ticket items, expensive buildings. And if you are able to invest in them, they usually have high minimum investment requirements. So there's usually someone out there buying a building, and sometimes they raise a little bit of capital from some investors. But usually those investors have a high minimum placed on them, you know, minimum 250 grand or minimum $50,000. There's not really a way to do it to enable regular Canadians to participate. And that's essentially what we built. So that is a technology platform that enables everybody to be able to participate for as little as a dollar. We had to build basically all of the technology that you could imagine that would be needed for, you know, having 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 investors in a specific property. So everything from enabling people to create accounts, verify ID, connect their bank account, move money back and forth, processing dividends and distributions, all the tax slips, investor updates, like all of that stuff is automated by the software and what allows, you know, real estate operators to be able to have, you know, hundreds if not thousands of investors.
So to kind of put it maybe out there, maybe in layman's terms, so Matt goes and buys this building, let's say argument, say $10 million, and he's looking for a handful of potential, we're going to assume limited partners to come in on the project with him. Minimum is 250 or 500,000. Addy would potentially participate in one of those 250,000 or $500,000 offerings, where you then, through the platform, would allow Canadians to invest into that $250,000 placement on a smaller level to participate in the overall big project. Am I correct in understanding that?
Almost. But basically, what he would do is he would, let's say he buys that $10 million building, he'd probably slap a $7 million mortgage on it with a $3 million of equity.
Yep.
Maybe he puts in $1 million and he needs to raise $2 million. Normal world, he'd run around with a pitch deck and talk to accredited investors and high net worth people and say, hey, I'm raising $2 million, minimum 250 grand, you know, try to find 3, 5, 7, 10 people to do that. In our world, he would license the Addy platform, license the software, and go and raise that, you know, million or $2 million, whatever he's trying to raise, but using the software so he can enable his accredited investors to be able to participate, but also enable regular Canadians to be able to participate. So like the average investor on the platform, a retail investor, their average investment's about $600-$700 per opportunity.
Gotcha.
But yeah, he's basically licensing the platform and then making his opportunity available to the community.
And Addy doesn't vet the deals, right? Like you're saying here's the opportunity, but you're not, it's a licensing agreement with the person as opposed to you're a deal finder, correct?
Yeah, so we do have a real estate team where we look at the opportunities, we pull in all the documents, analyze the documents. We built a bunch of AI tools around analyzing those documents. So all of that information, pro formas, environmental docs, limited partnership agreements, all of that stuff comes into to the team. Obviously, there's things that we're looking for to make it a suitable opportunity to get onto the platform. And if things are missing or things don't make sense or whatever it is, then there's lots that don't make it onto the platform. But at the end of the day, the investor community on the platform, their job is to review the due diligence, read the offering docket, and make an investment decision. We do also license the software to exempt market dealers. When someone makes a transaction, there's an exempt market dealer, there's a dealing rep in the middle of the transaction in the software that is reviewing that person's suitability, you know, that person's risk tolerance, and then making a decision on can and should they be investing in this opportunity.
One thing you talked about earlier that I think maybe you can sort of elaborate on a little bit, because I think this is one thing that makes Addy a really, really great opportunity for those who are looking to invest in commercial real estate, potentially on a smaller scale, is accredited investors. Can you maybe elaborate a little bit on those for me who don't know what an accredited investor is, and then how this Addy platform allows those who maybe aren't accredited investors to participate?
Yeah, so an accredited investor is someone who has a handful of ways to qualify as accredited. Kind of the big bucket ones are you make more than $200,000 a year or $300,000 with a spouse, or you've got more than $1 million in assets outside of your primary residence. There's lots of, you know, there's a whole handful of other ways to qualify, but that's basically it. It's like you have a high enough net worth or you make enough money to be able to make these, you know, sort of higher risk investment decisions for yourself. And so what the software does is we automate all of the subscription agreements. So when someone signs an agreement to make an investment into either buying LP units or buying the security from the issuer, the software can create that subscription agreement for a credit investor who's in British Columbia, which is a little bit of a different document if a credit investor in Saskatchewan or, you know, wherever. So the system does all that automation to serve up the right documents to the right person in a completely automated fashion. So like their name and address and all that information automatically shows up on the document for them to sign.
So a question that I have, and obviously like you probably guys probably get, you know, Addy seems like it's got a lot of momentum. I mean, I get lots of emails from you guys with some great projects you guys are working on, stuff like that. How do you find your deals? Are you at the point now where, you know, developers or, you know, landowners or syndicators are coming to you now with opportunities that you guys can review? Or are you guys still out there in the marketplace looking at properties? You might see a good property, then maybe try to find potentially who the buyer that was. Where does Addy find their next deal from?
Yeah, so we're at the point now where these real estate operators, real estate developers are coming to us to license the system to run their issuance. And so usually they're coming for a handful of different reasons and probably reasons you wouldn't expect. One of the more common reasons is, like, let's say a real estate developer, and using the example we just used, you're buying a $10 million building, you're going to own a cash flowing asset, you need to raise a little bit of money, and minimums are 250 grand. We've got real estate operators that come to us and they're like, I just want to enable my employees to be able to participate. But the vast majority of them don't qualify as a creditor or don't have 250 grand, even if they were accredited. And so they look at us around like, wow, could I use this system and could I use crowdfunding regulation to enable my, you know, 100 employees or the trades, you know, or the people working on the tools? They're like, can I use the platform to be able to enable these people to participate in the property or the project that they're working on, that they're building, so that they're a part of the upside as well, not just on the, you know, the doing side of the tasks.
Yeah.
So we have lots of that. So they look at us like almost like a employee stock option program. It's like an ESOP software almost, where that's a lot of the driving motivation is, this looks like a neat way for me to get my people involved and participating in the upside. We've got other operators, like there's a hotel operator that's put a few hotels in Quebec on the platform. Is kind of serious. Like, why wouldn't I want 2,000 or 3,000 investors in the hotel? Like, if you're ever going to go to Montreal, you're probably going to want to stay in your hotel. Or if your friends and family are going to Montreal, you're probably going to say, hey, you should stay in my hotel. And so he sees it as like a commercial benefit to the operations of that type of a business or type of a property as an attractive way to use word of mouth marketing. And so like both of those reasons are not really to do with actually raising money. There's sort of other side benefits of using the software,
yeah,
and wanting to be a part of it and wanting to enable the community to participate.
And Stephen, I know it's $1 is the minimum, which is attractive. What, there is a maximum though, right?
Depends on the person, yes.
Oh, okay.
The reason why it's $1, it's not meant to be like a marketing thing. It's more the goal of the business and the platform is to eliminate barriers to entry.
Right.
If you have $400 and we say the minimum is $500, all of a sudden Addy itself is the barrier. And so by making it $1, you choose. Like, is $50 good for you? Is $500 good for you? Is $5,000 good for you? Like, it's your choice, your decision. But we're trying to eliminate the barrier so that you can make a decision and not be forced into something that's either a little too big of what you'd rather invest, or the number is too big where it blocks you from investing. As far as how much can you invest, it depends on what the exempt market dealer in the opportunity thinks based on your suitability and your income and your net worth. It also depends on what tool they're using. There's offering memorandum as a structure of raising capital, or you can use crowdfunding regulation. Crowdfunding regulation restricts people to $10,000. If you're a accredited investor, you can invest essentially whatever you want. If you're using an offering memorandum, there's no upper limit on it. So it really depends on who's the person, where are they, what's their suitability, and how do they qualify? Are they retail investor, eligible investor, accredited investor? And again, that's where the software comes in, is it gathers all of that, automates a lot of that functionality, and makes it really easy for the issuer to understand what they're, you know, what they're doing, as well as the exempt market dealer who also is in the system, helps them make decisions. Because it, like I said, in the old way of doing this is, if you're doing it all manually, you wouldn't want 1,000 investors. You wouldn't even know how to deal with them.
Yeah.
Right. It would just, it blows your mind where you're like, absolutely not. Like, I want the least number of investors possible for the most amount of money, because they're just hard to deal with. And so all of the benefits of the software is what automates all of those concerns. If you think about, like, there's like 15 or 20 different things that an issuer would be like just tax slips as an example. They're like, oh my God, like I don't want to create 1,000 T5s every year manually. And so like that is completely automated in the system, right? Or it's like movement of money, right? Dealing with, imagine collecting 1,000 inbound wires that are coming from these people that are wiring into your bank account, and you're having to deal with that all manually. We've automated that whole process of moving money in small dollar amounts, thousands of transactions in and out of the platform every day. And that's like, that concern is eliminated. We can't use a system like DocuSign or HelloSign or whatever, because they charge $2, $3, $4 per signature. We had to build what we call AddiSign. We had to automate like that piece, because you couldn't have a small dollar investor investing $10, but like having to pay $4 for the signature technology. So it's like all of those little pieces is what the Addy platform is. It's everything from start to finish that enables the software to enable someone to invest literally as little as a dollar. We've got it so the math works and the software does all the heavy lifting.
You mentioned there about crowdfunding, and that's kind of my thoughts before with regards to having people kind of come in. Is that kind of, I don't want to say a workaround and I don't want to make it sound like that, but is that kind of the linchpin to the ability to crowdfund the money versus and get around kind of some of these larger barriers, whether it be accredited investors or larger amounts? It's because it's a crowdfunding idea.
Yeah, there's crowdfunding regulation, which is relatively new in Canada. That's kind of a lighter weight version of an offering memorandum. Like an offering memorandum is a pretty hefty document that needs to be created that explains all of the details and risks associated with an investment. But it also has requirements like you need to do audited financials every year. And so some of those things are why people are like, I can't, it doesn't make sense mathematically to do audited financials every single year. If I'm just buying a property, letting it cash flow for 10 years and then selling it, it doesn't, sometimes the math doesn't make sense. Crowdfunding regulation is a lighter weight version of an offering memorandum. It doesn't have audited financial requirements, but it also restricts. You can only raise up to $1.5 million in a rolling 12-month period with crowdfunding regulation. So there are other restrictions on the other side of it that are meant, I guess, to counteract sort of the more lightweight version of it. So when an issuer chooses to raise capital, they're just choosing not only like, where am I going to raise money from? Where are these people? Like, do I want British Columbia investors, Alberta investors, different rules for each province? Do I want retail eligible or accredited? Like, you know, which tool do I want to use? Like, do I want to use an offering memorandum? Do I want to use crowdfunding regulation? Like, it really depends. So it's like a choose your own adventure, depending on what the issuer is hoping to achieve.
Yeah.
So they can use the software to run whichever, if they want BC only investors using crowdfunding regulation, opening it to retail, or if they want an offering memorandum for a GPLP structure in all provinces. Like, there's the software can manage all of those pieces for them and make them, you know, enable them to be successful in doing whichever, you know, using whichever tools they'd like to use.
Can you invest through a TFSA or RSP?
No, not yet. No registered funds. We'll look to, you know, enabling that in 2025.
And are you considering going outside of Canada? Like, is the growth trajectory? It sounds like, I know, you know, you're basically across the country and you're growing quickly. Are you guys thinking about the U.S. and potentially other markets?
We are. We've had our first, so from a property point of view, the first American property has come onto the platform.
Oh.
There was a student housing complex in Oklahoma. It came onto the platform. It was sold out. It does quarterly dividends. I actually just got my dividend from it the other day. For us, like, it took us a while because we had to build all of the infrastructure to move U.S. dollars, right? So we're enabling Canadians to invest Canadian dollars. So we had to build all the money movement infrastructure to do that, at obviously at the lowest cost possible to be able to make this all mathematically work. And then when we wanted to enable American properties are generally, you know, raised in USD. So we had to build the payment rails for movement of money in U.S. dollars for Canadians. So that infrastructure is now done, and that first issuance from this is an operator out of Toronto that licensed the system, and then they ran their opportunity on the platform to enable Canadians to invest U.S. dollars in U.S. real estate.
You know, just as a total aside, Stephen, I don't know how many people you have working there, but it sounds like you guys have really built out the software. Like, is it just the couple of you guys that are like, all right, we got to figure out a DocuSign system and build it out? We have to figure out, Like it's a huge undertaking. How many geniuses do you have involved in this?
We're not as many as you'd think. They're all geniuses, but we're a small team. There's only 15 of us. But yes, like, so we had to pick our battles. When you're building software and you're building a startup, you kind of, you're not trying to solve all of it at once. Like trying to figure out like what's the minimum, we call it the MVP, the minimum viable product. Like what can we build as quickly as possible to get real estate operators getting, you know, enjoying the system, liking it. And then what could we add as we go? And when like new features come out, it's because we sort of stack rank the priority of like, okay, this thing needs to be built, this thing can wait. So at the beginning, we were using HelloSign. We hadn't built our own technology. So we were paying that fee, knowing that we could get to the automation of that in the future. The money movement was a big piece. We had to deal with the money movement. Like, how do you enable people to move $50, $500? Like, how can you do that at scale with money coming, you know, enabling these people? Because if you can't do that, you're kind of the roadblock in itself. And so over the years, that's what we've been doing, is building out all this automation. Like 2 years ago, you could only have one issuance up at a time on the platform. It didn't have the ability to have two. But now the software is built start to finish so that an issuer can come on, you know, license the pieces that they want to use, run what they want to run for as far as an issuance goes. All of the start to finish of an issuance, like all the closing, for example, when you're closing an issuance, meaning you've raised the cap, you've raised the amount that you wanted to raise, you've hit that number, now you want to sort of get the money. There's a whole automated process that the issuer logs into their account after the exempt market dealer has approved the transactions. The issuer can close their transactions, and then like automated fund flow agreements get sent out. They get signed. Like all these things have to happen before money moves. All of that has been automated, where 3 years ago, it was still being manually done. So the scale, we're now ready for scale, which is why you're probably maybe seeing lots more activity on the platform, is because the software is doing all of this heavy lifting now, and we're ready to sort of keep growing the platform.
You touched base there, Stephen, you know, 3 years and growing from a company standpoint. Is there any exits that you guys have experienced there through the platform that maybe you want to touch a little bit on? And we will preference that, you know, every investment is different and stuff like that. And there are obviously some maybe more successful than others, but is there any as of late that you could touch base on from an exit standpoint, maybe how those investors did?
Yeah, so the first exit that happened on the platform was the Lex building downtown Vancouver. So it was an interesting one in that the real estate operator that bought the building, it was, now don't quote me exactly on the numbers, I think it was like 40 units of apartment units, and then I think two commercial units on the bottom, like a Subway, a restaurant, and a nail salon.
Okay.
And he had bought this building that was operating like a multifamily building. So he basically was able to buy the whole thing. But the interesting thing about it, it was technically stratified. So all the units were technically individually stratified. They just happened to be owned by one group. So when this real estate operator bought the building, he used the Addy platform to enable people to participate in the ownership of it. The original plan was like, it's a cash flow, hold for 5 years. It'll just sort of kind of do what it does. It wasn't meant to be a knock it out of the park type investment, just a cash flowing asset that would pay a quarterly dividend. And what the operator decided to do, the real estate market was doing really well. I think it was a year and a half, 2 years ago when he exited. But what he did is he basically sold all of the individual units off so that people either could buy their own unit and move into it, sell it to an investor and keep the renter that was in place. And he executed on it very quickly. It was about 11 months that he had that building. And so the whole community was in, and that was like a 22 or 23%. Return. So it blew out the projection, and it was much, much, much faster. It was meant to be, a 5-year estimated timeline, and everybody was out in less than 12 months. And so while that was awesome, it was a big success. The opposite can also be true, right? You can have made an investment into something that was meant to be 5 years, and it turns into 9. And the returns were supposed to be this, and they end up being much lower, you know, because there's lots of things happen. We've learned, obviously, with COVID, changed a lot of people's plans. Interest rates going up changes a lot of people's plans. But this kind of, you know, opportunities, you're not only, at least when I look at them, is you're investing in the property, you're investing in the city, you're investing in the province. You're also like investing in who's the person running the opportunity, who's the person who owns the building, managing the building. Like their skill set really matters, because you can have a great operator take a poorly run building and make it great, but you can have a shoddy operator take a great building and sort of mismanage it. So there's all these sort of key pieces that people need to don't understand, but like that one with the Lex was a very well executed plan, and it worked out really, really well for the investor group that participated. I think it was 1,100 or 1,200 people were part of that.
And you mentioned there about the operators of these buildings, which is really important. And we see it all the time on the brokerage side of the business, where like really, really smart building operators will buy buildings that are being poorly managed, underutilized, and turn them around, when we call a value add type acquisition, for huge success. Does Addy at all vet these building operators or real estate operators before they go on the platform? Or is it kind of, I don't say buyer beware, but is it kind of like if they license the platform, the Addy job is done at that point through the licensing process, and then the people who are considering the investment need to do their own research on the real estate operator?
Yeah, so there's two ways to answer that. Is the person looking to make the investment always must do their own research.
Yep.
And read and understand the risk, read the offering documents, read through the due diligence. Like they definitely need to know and understand what they're getting into. We do, of course, look at all of these. We don't just sort of blindly license the platform to just anybody to do anything. We do look at it from Addy's point of view. So we're not making any decisions based necessarily on the investor. The exempt market dealer would do that because they know each investor. They know what their suitability is for each opportunity. We're looking at it from a point of view of, does it make sense? Are all the documents here? Has this person, this person been sued in the past? Has this, what's happened? Who are they? What's the skill set? What's the track record? All of those things. So we pull a whole bunch of that documentation together. A lot of it is given by the issuer, and then some of it is pulled from other sources, like looking in the online systems if they've been sued in the past and that kind of stuff. And of course, we get better as time goes on.
Yeah.
Those processes we keep adding as we learn about, like, oh, this is another thing we can do. Like, we pull title on every property that comes onto the platform. We pull it annually. We didn't do that in year one of the business, or year two. But now we constantly pull title every single year. It's just sort of part of software. The title shows up into the account of the investors, so they can see, here's the title. Like, there it is. And like, a lot of investors don't necessarily do that, but the system can, assist them with some of that automation, some of that stuff that should be going on after you've made the investment. So you can just sort of keep track of it. It also helps the real estate issuer, keep their investors up to date by using the investor update within the platform, so they can communicate to their investor base. So there's lots going on, and the system is getting better every day.
Now, what would be your pitch to let's say I'm a real estate operator, and we kind of touched a little bit on this earlier in the program, was I only want to have 3 or 4 investors because I don't want 500 people calling and emailing me, regardless to how good the software is to communicate with them. What, from a real estate operator standpoint, kind of going against maybe traditionally the less is more. What is the pitch from Addy if it's kind of like, hey, you might get 500 investors here? How does, like, obviously the software helps automate the communication between them, but is there a lot of pushback from real estate operators that maybe don't want that many people? And how does Addy kind of combat that?
Yeah. So at the beginning, there definitely was the people that just didn't understand or were nervous about, my God, just sounds like a lot of people to manage and a lot. So at the beginning, for sure. But now that there's been 44 opportunities that come onto the platform, and so there's results that can be shown of, like, this is how a tax slip, is generated for an issuance for 2,264 people. And the issuer can see it happen in real time, and it spins them all up automatically. Or how you can do a single investor update like you would if you're emailing one person with a PDF of, like, hey, here's how things are going. You can do the same thing. It just doesn't go to one person. It goes to your whole investor base, and it's all automated. Doing a dividend or distribution is a big one. Like, normally, you've got your 5 or 7 or whatever investors. You would wire them each their dividend. It's like, here's your $2,000, here's your $2,000, here's your, and you do it all manually. Our system is like they move that $10,000 push go, and it distributes it to every investor the 8th decimal place. So all of them based on their percentage ownership, and in seconds. Like, if you push it, goes, it notifies everybody. Everybody gets the notification in the app that their $36 just arrived, or their $304 just arrived, or whatever it is. So it's all of those pain points are, we've got the ability to show them of, like, whatever you think might be the problem, we can show you how we've automated that with software.
Obviously, you guys have come a long way over the past 3 years. What's next for Addy? What does the next 3 years look like for you guys?
You'll start to see private credit coming on the platform. So thus far, it's been all equity opportunities, real estate equity opportunities. You're going to start seeing credit, so the other side of the opportunity, where it's like on the debt side or the credit side. First one of those is coming very shortly. So people will see an issuance from Trez Capital, which is a large Vancouver-based real estate firm, using the software to make a debt or a credit issuance available to retail. So that you'll see a lot more of that kind of opportunity coming. We just had Scott McGilvery from HGTV's Scott McGilvery.
Yeah.
He just launched his fund on the platform. So his fund is the first fund that's ever come on. Everything, all other 43 properties have all been individual specific properties where you can you're the Lex. It's like you like the Lex, you like the person that owns that building, you like Vancouver, you like the province of BC. You can choose not to participate in that building at the time. That's how they've all been up until now with Scott McGilvery's fund. He's doing development. So two of the buildings and the locations and the addresses are known, but the next two are not. But when people are getting into his opportunity, it's multiple buildings in a couple different cities. I think it's Toronto and Hamilton. So that's the first of that type to come onto the platform. So yeah, so then you'll see, of course, there'll be more American opportunities, more ways for people to get involved in the American side of things.
And then for the listeners who may not understand the difference between a fund and maybe a potential like a limited partnership opportunity on a single building, a fund, you're more buying into an investment criteria versus a specific property where they're trying to hit a certain criteria target. You're kind of buying, you like what they're doing. You kind of, this is the yield they're looking to target. And that's kind of more what you're buying into versus, to your point, buying a building like the Lex because you really like that location in Vancouver. I guess what...
Yeah.
One question that I really want to know, does Scott McGilvery really know how to swing a hammer, or is he just kind of come on the camera, couple of taps of the hammer, and then walks away when they say cut, or is he really on the tools?
I don't know. I asked that question, and he sounds like he knows what he's doing, but he made the joke that there's a reason why he doesn't do a landscaping show around his stuff, because he's like, I don't know how, I don't want to be an actor in the yard pretending that I know what I'm doing in the landscaping side of things. So
it seems like he knows how to stay in his lane then.
It seems like it, yeah.
Probably can be said more for him than some most, because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are great actors that all of a sudden come across as these home builder HGTV people. So good for him. Stephen, before we let you go, we have a six-pack of lighthearted questions we ask everyone to get to know you a little bit more outside of the office. Do you have just a few more minutes for us?
Sure.
Excellent. The six-pack is powered by our good friends over at Red Point Law.
Red Point Law, Corey, Tim, Falco, Scott, and the team. These are great people with a wealth of experience when it comes to commercial closings and private lending. And I just want to say, Corey, not to cut you off, they have a perfect 5-star review on Google.
So for all your commercial legal needs, visit them at redpointlaw.ca with offices in Vancouver and now open in downtown Kelowna.
First question is favorite vacation spot. And I know you were, you lived in Asia for a while, so this should be interesting.
Favorite vacation spot right now is around here. We've got a little cabin that's on the ocean, and I'll do anything I can to try and get up there as much as I can. I don't know. Outside of that, I would love to go back to the Philippines. The Philippines is amazing.
Wow.
I can't remember the number now. It's 2,700 islands. There's some crazy amount of islands. It's beautiful. The beaches are amazing. The people are lovely. Awesome.
Excellent. Next question up. Unfortunately, you've done something horribly wrong, Stephen. You're on death row, but you're given one last meal before it's all said and done. What meal are you having?
Oh, this is easy. Steaks, potatoes, Yorkshire pudding, gravy.
Oh, that was pretty detailed there. We usually just get a high level sushi, but that was the Yorkshire pudding is what won me over.
Yorkshire pudding, I like it.
Yorkshire pudding won me over.
Favorite band, Stephen, or something you're listening to right now that you'd recommend?
I'm honestly not a big music guy. I don't have music on my phone. It's weird. So,
wow.
Yeah, I don't know. I get in the car. I use Evo a lot in Vancouver. I get in the car and I'll turn on CKNW. I listen to new stock radio instead of whatever music stations there are. Not that I dislike music, I just don't care enough.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Fair enough.
CKNW is the answer.
I didn't know CKNW was still around. I remember when I was a kid, they used to have like the hockey games on CKNW and stuff like that. I think it's the Team 1040 now.
It's the whole sports net.
All right, Steven, something you've purchased for $1,500 or less has had a positive impact on your life as of late.
Probably my AirPods. I don't know. I don't live without them. They're always in my pocket now. Like I just crush podcasts and stuff like that when I'm going anywhere, walking, whatever. Useful in downtime.
Well, for anyone that doesn't have AirPods yet, once you do get them, and I think I'm probably similar to you. When I first got mine, I was kind of like, I don't know, am I really going to use them? And then once, like, I will like be 15 minutes from home, turn around, drive back if I forgot my AirPods now.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. They're just so good. And the way they flip between the iPhone and your Mac, the way Apple's got it figured out, that it kind of knows what you're doing. If you're on a call and you open your computer, and like, it's just, I don't know. It's really amazing how they work.
And it's funny. I had AirPods, and then a friend of mine who's in the hearing space was like, Anna, you don't want those. You want something else. And I bought these other ones, and they just, you're right. Like Apple's got it figured out, where the other ones, I was like, man, these just don't, I love that you put it in your ear. It immediately clicks on the phone option. Anyway.
Yeah. I've heard there's one now. I don't know if it's Apple's, but where they translate so someone can speak to you in some language and it comes into your ear in English. Like,
oh wow!
It's gonna be a bunch of cool stuff like that, where the language divide is gonna disappear.
Right on. We know you're a busy guy, but what are you binge watching right now?
Binge watching right now.
Apple Maybe TV, not binge watching. Netflix, Amazon. When you got a few minutes, what are you watching?
Yeah, I think it's called The Last Kingdom. I'm literally opening Netflix right now. I think it's The Last Kingdom, like a TV series about the creation of England.
Oh.
You know, when they were sort of fighting between Wessex and the Danes and all this stuff, and like swords and whatever.
Wow.
Like King Edward's time.
When I opened my Netflix, the first thing that pops was Bad Dinosaur, which is the cartoon. So this is way over my pay grade right now.
Yeah. Don't let your kids watch The Kingdom. it's a little bloody.
Last question up, Stephen. A book recommendation you'd have for our listeners doesn't necessarily have to be real estate related.
I don't know. We talk a lot of the office about the book Radical Candor. It's constantly a topic of discussion of like, how do you give feedback to people, hard feedback in a positive way that they need to hear, and you know, it helps them get better at whatever they're doing. It's a really interesting book around how to sort of manage that, so you can make your enable your team to be better, because they're all sort of giving feedback in a way that works instead of not giving the feedback and not solving whatever the problem was.
Great. Well, Stephen, for all of our guests that want to find out more about the Addy platform, whether they want to license it or potentially participate in some opportunities on the Addy platform, how can our listeners find out more about that and get a hold of you?
Just go to addyinvest.ca. It's probably the easiest way. They can create an account and start their learning journey around how the whole thing works.
Fantastic. Well, thanks again, Stephen, for your time. And I'm sure we'll be talking to you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Excellent. Thanks, Stephen. Take care.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. There you have it, folks. Our interview with Stephen Jagger, co-founder of Addy.
That was a good conversation.
Great conversation.
I feel like I could have went another half hour easy.
Easy. Yeah.
With
easy
questions. I kind of was looking down at the end thinking, man, there's so much more I could talk about. We'll have to have him back.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think one thing too, one takeaway I had is I assumed, and that, you know, obviously I get a lot of their emails and with the projects they're launching on the investment side, I didn't, you know, understand, but now I understand that they also have a licensing thing for those who want to do the real estate acquisition themselves and are looking for capital. Right. Obviously, like he says in the program there, they do try to vet these people the best they can. But if you have a great project that you do need a little bit more capital, Addy also has a licensing program so you can actually operate their platform and access probably some of those investors potentially.
Right. You know what? He mentioned to me at one point, you know, there's a building that has a Starbucks in it. And a lot of the investors are like, I go to that Starbucks. It's like there or the Quebec Hotel where it's like, why wouldn't I have a bunch of Canadians invest because it just, it raises brand awareness. It brings people to the hotel.
Yeah.
People are excited in staying in their investments.
Like, how would that pitch go if I'm a landlord here and I'm calling up, my broker, or I'm calling Starbucks. I'm like, hey, I've got a building in Chilliwack and I've got like 3,000 partners. If you open up here, our partners are going to go buy coffee at your place.
Yeah.
Like there's a pitch. I'd like to hear how that one goes down.
The other thing that's interesting is, you're on the tools. It's like this allows your employees to invest in the projects they're working on, which is exciting.
Yeah. No, lots of great takeaways there. Before we go really quickly, how's the market on your side? I know we talked really briefly before. You guys were saying how busy you guys are.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny. It's, I feel like I'm not sure how busy the market is. It feels like pockets are very busy. Certain areas, I think, are quite slow. We are in July.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, it's like every time you think you're going to get a break.
That's the most humble answer of pretty much saying like you're a residential real estate rock star. You're busy and nobody else is.
Yeah. So. What I'm trying to tell you is,
it's the Scalina secret.
We're just great at what we do, I guess. I don't know.
And for all those who want to do commercial real estate or get a hold of myself, you can reach me at Corey@WilliamWright.ca. You can go to our website, WilliamWright.ca, sign up for the latest and greatest news, or call our Vancouver office, 604-428-5255.
You guys are busy as well, right?
We struggle to keep up right now. Yeah, it's been, it's a problem nonetheless, but it's a great problem to have. We always struggle for lack of good inventory in commercial anyways. So, I mean, the rates haven't really obviously impacted anything too much just yet, but we're seeing tremendous increase in volume, which is really good.
Fantastic. Well, have a great week, everyone. Enjoy the sun. And we'll be back next week with another fantastic episode of the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Subscribe today.